Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's Brian Lehrer, and this is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios.
It's Tuesday, August 11th.
When it comes to reopening schools and just about anything else in the COVID era, Americans are hearing more and more references to the V word, ventilation. This is an airborne virus, so what are the best practices around keeping windows open when you're indoors? And when do we need something stronger, ventilation equipment, in order to keep the virus particles moving along? How effective are different kinds of ventilation machines when it comes to mitigating the risk of infection? And how do you tell an HVAC from a HEPA anyway? With me now is Dr. Lindsay Marr, the Charles P. Lunford Professor of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Virginia Tech University. Dr. Marr, thanks so much for coming on with us. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Can you, as a civil engineering professor, do a little ventilation 101 for our listeners to start out? What exactly does the word refer to?
Ventilation refers to the movement of air through a room or a building. It can be natural, as if you open the windows, and that, even if the windows are closed, the air is slowly moving through cracks and other leaky spots in the room. There's also mechanical ventilation, if you have some kind of fan system or HVAC, which stands for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system, and that moves air through the building too.
A big headline story right now, just about everywhere, is about ventilation in schools as being a major factor for a lot of parents when it comes to sending their children back into the classrooms and teachers for whether they'll feel safe. What should parents and school officials consider when thinking about how to use ventilation in order to slow the spread of COVID-19?
We're looking to bring in as much outdoor air as possible and to remove indoor air as quickly as possible, to keep any virus that might be in the air from building up inside. One of the very simple things you can do is to open windows. You can put a fan in the window to speed things up, but opening windows and doors will definitely help increase the ventilation in a classroom. Another thing you can do is to look at the HVAC system and make sure it is set with the dampers adjusted and any settings to use as much outdoor air as possible compared to recirculated air. They use a lot of recirculated air because it cuts down on energy costs, but at this point in time, given our concerns about transmission of COVID-19, we should be using as much outdoor air as possible.
What are the main questions you would advise parents or teachers to ask the school administrators as they try to assess whether a particular building or classroom is as well ventilated as it could be?
You could ask, what is the air exchange rate? And that will tell you how often the air is changed over. In a house, that might be every 1 or 2 hours. In a public building, we are looking for numbers more like 6 times per hour, and that's true in newer buildings, but in older ones, it may not be. But if you open windows, you can achieve a much higher air exchange rate. And if you another question to ask is, are they upgrading filters in their HVAC system? Because filters come in different qualities, and you can change to better ones that will remove more virus from the air. A third question to ask is whether they are using air purifiers in rooms where they cannot increase the ventilation, because the air purifier can remove virus from the air.
You've used the term HVAC a couple of times, and we hear the terms HVAC and HEPA when talking about ventilation. For listeners who aren't familiar, can you tell us the difference between the two?
HVAC stands for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system. So that may include a fan or blower, and it pushes air through vents that are in your ceilings or floors or maybe your walls, and it can also provide heat in the wintertime if you have some kind of forced air unit, or it can provide you with cooler air during the summer. Now, HEPA or HEPA, H-E-P-A, stands for high efficiency particulate air and it refers to a type of filtration. So that can be a, most commonly you would see a HEPA filter in, for example, vacuum cleaners, mm-hmm. or a standalone air purifier. Most HVAC systems are not equipped to handle HEPA filters. They can handle filters, other types of filters, but not HEPAs. So the HEPA filters are very dense and it's harder to push air through them, so you have to have a special type of air handling system that can accommodate those.
So is there a sort of bare minimum filtration system that you know of to be effective against spreading COVID-19, whether you need to break that separately into the HVAC category and the HEPA category, I'm not sure. But, you know, and I don't know if you want to ever mention product names or models, but what should people be looking for?
Yeah, there's in the HVAC system, those almost always have some kind of filter. Often it's a rectangle, it has a cardboard frame maybe, and then some kind of fabric or woven filter material. Those come in different ratings, and they're usually referred to as MERV ratings, minimum efficient reporting value. Anyway, those numbers run from 1 all the way up to 14 or above. Kind of a typical system might have MERV 7 or 8, which could remove maybe half of the viruses, of the droplets and aerosols that we're concerned about. Now, if you go up to MERV 13, then you're removing at least 80% of those, but you have to be sure that your HVAC system can handle that because it requires more fan or blower capacity to push air through that filter. And then for a standalone HEPA air purifying unit, you should be looking at the clean air delivery rate and looking for something that is a higher number, because that indicates that the purifier is running more air through the HEPA filter, and so it's cleaning more air.
Pastor Francis in Central Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Here's my question. I am very much involved in the church here. It's a rural situation, semi-rural situation, and we're really in a conundrum. We don't know what exactly to do. Our church was built in the late 90s, and it was still the fashion then to build airtight buildings, right? So our windows don't open. We have a very efficient HVAC system, but we don't know what to do. Should we be running the air conditioning while people are in the church? Is it better to have the air moving around? Or is it better to freeze the place first, get it down, get the temperature down, and then have people come in with no air moving around at all? So we're just trying to figure out what's the best way to protect our people in a building where there are no open windows.
Dr. Marr.
Wow, that's a tough one. If the option is that, well, if people must meet, I hope they are wearing masks and practicing distancing. I think it would be better to run the air conditioning unit because you will get at least some filtration. So you should check the filter in the system to make sure it's installed correctly and see if you can upgrade it, as I mentioned earlier, to a higher MERV number. Another thing you could do, even if the windows don't open, is to keep the doors open, possibly. And then finally, consider adding an air purifier that I mentioned earlier. If it's a large room, you might need several of them.
And I presume outdoor masks would be preferable to any of those.
Yes, that was kind of on the premise that people are going to meet indoors and there's no other option. But, much safer would be to meet outdoors.
Pastor Francis, good luck. Fanny in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Fanny.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I work in a kitchen that is in the basement. There are no windows, and there is no access to outside air. It is in a hotel that was built in the 30s, and we do have adequate air conditioning, but I'm not sure about the ventilation and how safe is it to go back to work.
That is going to depend on a lot of factors. How many people are in that space? Are they wearing masks? It sounds good that there is good air conditioning. Again, you might want to try to check with the building managers to make sure they have upgraded the filters in those. It's all about risk reduction at this point.
Fanny, good luck. Vicki in Brooklyn, a teacher in a Brooklyn classroom. You're on WNYC. Hi, Vicki.
WNYC.
Vicki, listen to your phone, not the radio. Hi.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. So I'm a teacher in Brooklyn, and I work in a school where the HVAC system has been, according to the custodians, broken since it started, and the windows are only hinge windows, so like, you know, they open about 3 inches at the bottom, so there's not like much air that comes through. So how can I make my classroom ventilation, you know, better?
All right, well, that's a good question. I think with those hinge windows, open them as much as you can, and then you could put a fan in the windows, some of them, blowing. How many windows are there?
I teach in like 5 different classrooms, so it depends. Some have like 8, some have like 4, so it depends.
So what you can do is open all the windows and put a fan blowing out of 1 or 2 of the windows at one end, and then that should help pull in air through the other windows. And then again, if you have the resources to get an air purifier, a portable air purifier, air cleaner, all you should be looking for is HEPA filtration. You don't need UV or ionization or any other fancy things beyond just the HEPA filter. That will help.
What about UV? A couple of callers who we won't have time for are asking about UV light.
UV can be very effective at killing off the virus, but it's also dangerous for humans to be exposed to UV light, right? Skin cancer. So it needs to be installed correctly, either in the upper part of the room in a way that people are not exposed to it, or in the HVAC system. It can be quite expensive, so you have to have the resources to do it and make sure you have someone knowledgeable about it installing it.
Chris, a physical therapist, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Yes, I'm working with a group of OTs and PTs from New York City schools to try to prevent an unsafe reopening. And my question is, how can either building people or, even better, lay people, us who are going to be working in the schools, know that a room's ventilation is adequate? We're being told open the windows, put in fans, but how do we know when the air exchange rate is actually adequate? Is there a way that we can test that? Is there a way that that can be easily measured?
Yes, there is a way. If you can get a hold of a carbon dioxide sensor, that can indicate whether the ventilation is sufficient. So when people breathe out, they release carbon dioxide into the air, and if there's enough ventilation, then that carbon dioxide in the air will not build up past a certain level. So we've generally been targeting something around 800 parts per million. So background air, outdoor air contains 400 parts per million. So if you go up to 800, maybe 1,000, that is an indicator that the room has good ventilation. Now, you can actually go a little higher than that if there's also good filtration in the room, either through a MERV 13 filter in the HVAC system or a standalone air purifier.
I hope that helps, Chris. I'm glad we got some calls in a row there about New York City schools reopening, because it's just so vague for so many people as they try to figure out whether particular schools and particular rooms within schools are safe. So we will leave it there with Dr. Lindsay Marr, the Charles P. Lunsford Professor of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Virginia Tech. Is there a website or some good central information where you would refer people for more on this?
For schools, there's a really good website called schools.forhealth.org. It is run by the Harvard Healthy Buildings Program, and they have a nice report on what schools can do and 20 questions you can ask your school. You can follow me on Twitter. The handle is Lindsay Marr. And I think the best resources right now are Our the most up-to-date research is appearing on Twitter right now.
Thank you very much, Dr. Moore. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.